Have your Bibles. Isaiah 38, verse 17, 18, 19. Isaiah 38, 17, 18, and 19. I'm going to try to preach these backwards. Some of y'all say I have to preach everything backwards. I love Isaiah 38. Somebody's got me turned up way high. Isaiah 38. I love Isaiah 38. I love the story of Hezekiah. Y'all have heard me preach it before. Me and Billy Graham got together and collaborated on verse 17. That's why I'm going to preach it last. I'll just say that I read something that he wrote about 10 years ago, and I read it about a month ago, and then, you know, it just kept burning on my heart, and then God said, I'll go ahead and preach it tonight if you want to. So I'll give Billy Graham the credit, like he needs any more credit, but for the meat of this message at the end. But I love the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sandwiched between two wicked kings that he was related to, his father and then his sons. He came along out of nowhere and was a bright spot in the dark place. Done it right. Tore down the high places, broke down the idols, returned the people back to God. It takes leadership. Sometimes leadership is what it takes for the people to turn to God. Amen? I'll just be honest with you. We live in a time and an era that our leaders are really wicked, for the most part. You rarely see. I'm not talking about politics. I'm just saying this. You rarely see anybody who'll take a solid stand just for Jesus. And that used to be commonplace, but that is not the case today. But Hezekiah done something under great duress. He come along and said, I don't care. We're going to serve God, even against his own mom. Sometimes it's hard to go against the world, but sometimes it's even harder to go against your family. But Hezekiah was a great king and great leader, and he got to a place in his life. And one of my other favorite stories about Hezekiah is when the enemy come up against him and wrote him a letter. It's pretty bad when they tell you they're going to kill you, but they wrote him a letter. You know what I mean? They told him, they said, don't you dare trust in God. Then they told the people, I'm going to preach everything I know about Hezekiah, I can already tell it. They told him, they said, look, don't you dare trust in Hezekiah, and don't dare trust in God. And they wrote a letter and told him, we're going to kill you. And they even went on a line of saying, we've destroyed every king, every country, and every people that trusted in their little g gods. And they wrote him a letter. And he believed a little bit of it. But he did something so awesome. He took that scroll and went up to the house of God. Gosh, I love this. And he rolled it out on the altar. And said, hey God, this is what they say. And God said, you tell them this is what I'm saying. The one that wrote that letter, I'm going to put it in Kevin terms, not the King James. He's a dead man. Hey man, he ain't coming back here. I'm going to put a hook in him, and I'm going to turn him all the way back to his. He'll never do what it said. Ain't that something? Some of y'all, I'm just going to give you a free nugget. Some of you need to roll that thing the devil's been wearing you out with and lay it out in front of God and say, what you say, instead of what does everybody else say and what do my fears say. It's one of my favorite stories. It's in the book of Kings. It's in the book of Chronicles. And here it is in Isaiah, because Isaiah was the prophet. He came in there to him and he was sick. He had a boil, and I'd say it got festered in his body, infection all through his body. And Isaiah come in and said, get your house in order. You're going to die. Now this is the king of a country. Listen, I love Isaiah. He's a true man of God. Pronounce it and hit the road, Jack. Sorry. He didn't even stick around so sorry about it. You're going to die, get your house in order and left. Delivered the mail and went home. Hezekiah, one of my favorite things. Oh, I know what it did. He couldn't get nowhere else, so he just rolled over against the wall. Here again, I don't want your opinion. I don't need your opinion. I don't need the person who's standing here guarding me. I don't need a military guy. I don't need the treasury guy. I don't need anybody, but I need to talk to God. I'll just roll over against the wall and tell God something. God, listen, God, this ain't just talk. It's been my walk. Some of us need to shut up and walk. We can quote Scripture and we can say godly stuff. We can bumper sticker people to death in the house of God, but can we walk a little bit? I said that out loud. I'm serious. Some of us need to get a steady walk with God, and people would then ask you stuff. They'll ask something if they see something. Don't always tell them, because if you tell them something and your actions don't meet up with your walk, then guess what? They just say, oh, there's another hypocrite. Walk a while. Walk with God. Let them come to you. Amen. I know I'm preaching, but I love it. Hey, he rolled over and he told him. He said, God, I'm telling you, here's my track record. I love you. And you know what I'm about. You know my heart. And this is what I want. Hey, we need to, Hezekiah's a good one to do this too. Start talking to God out of your heart and not saying it the way you think people would want it or the way God would want it. Here's what it comes down to. I'm sick and I want to be well. I walk for you, run for you, shout for you, praise for you, preach for you, teach for you, sing for you. I'll do whatever you want, but Lord, get me out of the mess. I'm talking to you. I ain't talking through nobody else. Can I go ahead and preach there for a second? I think I will. Praise God. You don't need a surrogate to get a hold of God. I'm telling you, I've run into so many people. If you'll pray for me, and they'll pray for me, now I ain't got a problem with praying for nobody. I love praying. I love talking to God for you. But praise God, if you got a direct line just like anybody else does, use it. God want to hear from you just as much as He does me or anybody else. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I didn't come to preach this hard. I had 3 points and I thought I was going to get out. I ain't even got to the text yet. Amen? I ain't even got to the text. And you know what it did? I love this part of the Bible. He went in there and he prayed. Well, then he turned Isaiah around. Y'all have heard me preach this, but Isaiah's headed to the house. All of a sudden, Isaiah has to turn around and change what it said. Another message. Man, I know some preachers can't come off of one thing they said. Praise God, Isaiah just had to come back and say, sorry, that last message, just erase that. You're going to live and not die. Don't worry about getting your house in order. You're getting 15 more years. And I was thinking about that 15 years. Ain't that amazing? I guarantee I ain't going to be all like, matter of fact, rubber stamp it or nothing. But I'll say this. I wonder if that ain't about fair time for everybody who gets right with God. Just let it sink in. Just let it absorb. You ever think about that? Just think about it. I don't know about your salvation, but I wonder how long it really takes somebody to sock in with Jesus. Amen? Might have got it when you was 9, lived the way you wanted to live till you was about 30. Said you got saved when you was 8 or 9 or 10, didn't get saved till you was 30. Then you get about 15 good years of running. Don't come to me after church and say, brother, I don't know where you got that 15 years at. I'm just telling you right now, I'm just being honest with you. I see it a lot of times that people, when they really get socked in with God, they got 10, 15, maybe 20 years to run for Him. Amen? What are you going to do? Run for Him, right? I love what it says. You got 15 years. He said, what's the sign? How you know for sure? He said, they had a sundial. This is amazing. He goes, if the sun steps go this way, what it meant is if the sun goes in its normal progression and it rolls that way, then it'll go this way. It'll mean it's right. But if it goes backwards 15 degrees, that means, I don't know if you know what this means, but the whole world would have to change direction. I'm not a smart man. Y'all know that. But I think this thing runs in a kind of a big system. Right? Golly, some of y'all look at me like I got two heads. I think this thing runs in a normal system, 365, right? 24 hours in a day. We revolve around that big old orb in the middle is the sun. Right? Am I close? I mean, I ain't been in science class in a while. For all of a sudden, the sun to go in a different direction would mean back it up. Beep. Beep. I know, don't get me with the Bible. Don't hit me with the earth. Don't have a beep, beep, beep on it. I don't care. It backs up 15 degrees to make the sun go in another direction because God says, you know what? I started in this motion. I can turn it back the other way. Amen? Just to prove a point. Just because a man said, God, will you? You could do this, God, and that'd be something neat to see, but that's going to happen anyway. It's going to go 10 degrees that way. But God, can you make it go that way? 10 degrees. Sure, I'll back that up for you. Amen? And some of y'all, I want to say this, and I want you to get this in your mind, because some of y'all are going to leave here and think I'm crazy. But you know what? I had an experience like this when I come into ministry. Did you know that? I used to go down on my lunch hour every day to a place called Providence Ministries and sit during my lunch hour with people that were in an addictive program, in a drug recovery program. Did it every day. That's what I did. That's why I moved to the job that I was on. Well, God was getting me ready to come into full-time ministry, and every day at 10 till on the same clock in my watch, I'd look and I'd say, I got 10 minutes. That means I had time to go take my tray, set it down, go get in my car, drive up there, and I had 4 minutes to clock in at the clock, and there was always a line that went around the corner, and I had to get in line to clock in, and I usually clocked in, went around, and got on my job in the supply room every single day. Well, this day, 10 minutes till, took my tray up there. I was going by Brother Roy's office. The door was cracked. And I knocked on it real quick and said, hey, Roy, I came by today. Just talked to the guys. I'm about to head out. I got to go. I'm right on time for lunch. He goes, man, this is amazing that you're coming by here. Will you come in? Do you have time to come in? And I went, no. On the inside, I said, no. But something in here said, you do. I walked in his office and I sat down and my eyes were on him and on the clock. On him, on the clock. I'm sitting there looking at that clock and I'm looking at him. And all of a sudden Roy says, he looks over and he says, you see that picture over there? And there was a buzzard about this tall and a little girl in front of it bent over drinking out of a mud hole. And he said, that's us right there, Kevin. That's us. The devil sits behind us every day and we're trying to make it in this life and he wants to destroy us. I totally forgot about the clock. I totally forgot about my job. I totally forgot about everything that was going on. And he talked for about 20 minutes, seemed like. He said, you got time to walk through the sanctuary? I said, I got time to do whatever I want to. Now I'm probably going to get fired. Hey, man. We walked through the sanctuary, went down the hallway, went into the sanctuary. We walked around that sanctuary two times. He's just talking and talking and talking. And I'm sitting there going, man, this is awesome. I wonder what I'm going to do for a living. God better just, he better just turn around and say, hey, you got a job, buddy. But at the end of all that, he just took this fire was coming out of him. And he was this man who's doing everything I want to do. And he said, well, Kevin, it's been a blessed day, man. You know, it ain't going to be long. You're going to be in this ministry full time. I know that. He said, man, I hope I haven't kept you too long. I said, you know, in a typical Christian way, don't worry about it, brother. I ran to my car thinking the whole time I'm going, oh my God. Oh yeah, either that I'm getting rid of because these people at my work, they hated my guts because I was a Christian. I ain't kidding you. They did not like me because I was a Christian. The only reason. I ran and got in my car, drove 3 minutes in 1 minute, boom, boom, ripped into the parking lot, ran, got my wallet out, swiped my card, come running down the aisleway, cut the corner, and there wasn't even one truck driver waiting on me. That's who, I was supposed to get all their supplies out. There wasn't even one guy at the desk. And I was like, oh gosh, thank God for that. Maybe they don't even know yet. And all of a sudden, I cut the corner and I ran the thing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking around, and all of a sudden, my boss comes out and says, hey, Kevin, how's it going? I said, I'm good, man, I'm good. How are you? How's everything going? And they're like, it's good. And they said, what's wrong with you? And I said, none. I'm just, you know, I mean, I was a little bit late. How late were you? I said, I don't know. I maybe 4 or 5 minutes, 20. He said, it's not even 1 minute till yet. And I sat and looked at that clock. I said, are you kidding me? I looked at that clock. And I looked at that clock. And all of a sudden, people were moving around and doing their job. And truck drivers started showing up. And every one of them, what time is it? They're like, oh, about 2 till. What time? It's about 3 after. Is it 1 o'clock? No, it's 12. Man, I was sitting there going, my God. I couldn't figure it out. My mind was, I was literally dumbfounded. I'm sitting there going, this don't make sense. I even went to my other boss. I'm like, hey, will you check the Kronos? Kronos is the card system where you clock in. He's like, oh, yeah. And then she's like the devil. Yes! You're good. You checked in 2 minutes early. Huh? What is it? And they're looking at me like I'm on maybe drug test me now. We had a little room at the very bottom, and it was like a paint thinners and things like that in the very, 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 very back. I got my phone. And I pulled, the first order I got that had paint thinners, I ran all the way back down there, pulled it all the way to the back of the plant, pulled that little pallet down there and set it down. And I called her, and I said, God just done a miracle. And I can't explain it. And she's, you know, what are you talking about? I said, God just turned back time. And I don't think anybody's ever going to believe that story. But I know what I do every day. And I wasn't even a minute late. I told her that whole story. And you know what? It wasn't just a little bit longer. After that, I was in full-time ministry. And you said, well, how does that story affect us? I wouldn't be standing here if I wasn't standing there. Amen? God knew the whole thing. It blew me away. You said, well, if you get to heaven, is God going to say we moved out? I don't know what he did. I don't know how he did it. But I'm glad he did it, because those are the kind of things I don't need to see him all the time, but I have to remind myself where I come from, what happened. Amen? All right, so Hezekiah, he's alive. He gets healed. He gets 15 years. And guess what he does? What we should do. He sat down and started praising God. He wrote it down. Matter of fact, I don't know if he wrote it or if he had somebody that done the writing for him, but we should do this at least. We should begin to praise God when he changes us. Amen. Hezekiah, I don't know if he did it himself. He goes, you know what? I was sick. I should have been dead. All this thing should have happened to me. You know what I am going to do? Since I am alive, I think I'll praise him a little. Amen. So that's how we get the message tonight. Look at 17, 18, and 19 with me. Finally getting to the word, right? Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in thy love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. I love this. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Amen. Oh, gosh. Let's go to 19 first, because I'm going to preach this backwards. Look what he says. Come on, y'all can help me out right here. The living. You know what he's saying right there. I'm alive. Hey, the living can worship. Man, we should come with that attitude to the house of God on a regular basis. Hey, God, You didn't save me by accident. Hey, you could have let me go on down the path. Hey, I will not sit idly by knowing that I could have been dead. Now I'm alive. He makes the living the living. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but if he leaves me in the game, I want to make myself available. Amen? I don't know if y'all are big sports fans, and I hate going into sports stuff all the time with y'all, but that's who I am at my core. I started playing sports when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Amen? But my favorite basketball team of all time was the Chicago Bulls. It was the Michael Jordan era. Amen? But they had a guy on the team. His name was Stacey King. Y'all know who him is? Does anybody know Stacey King? I know. Rick by Grace Luke. I know. I got a couple basketball guys. Stacey King has six championship rings. You know why? Because he played on the same team as Michael Jordan. But you know what he did? He sat on the bench. But you know what? Somebody on that team, somebody in that front office said, we got to keep Stacey around because every time he gets in the game, he plays good defense, he rebounds, and he knows what to do, and he's a great teammate. He must have been great in the locker room. And you know what? He benefited from that because he got 6 championship rings. When Michael got his 6, he got his 6. I don't know if that's, it might be 3, but I don't know. I'm just telling you this. He got a lot of championship rings, and he didn't do a whole lot of playing. You know what? He made up his mind early. I'm gonna be a role player. I'm not Michael. I'm not Scotty. I'm not those big guys that are starting the game. But guess what? When I get in the game, I'm going to play like crazy. When I'm not in the game, I'm going to cheer like crazy. When I'm in the locker room, I'm going to be a great teammate. Amen? So praise God. You know what I did? I made up my mind. Hey, I don't know why God saved me. I don't know why he kept me. I don't know why he chose me. I didn't know. Hey, when I get in the game, I'm going to play like crazy. When I'm sitting on the bench, I'm going to cheer like crazy. Hey, and guess what? In the locker room, I'm going to be a great teammate. Amen? I'm going to be a great teammate. I'm going to be great. I might not be the Michael Jordan on the team, but I could be a Stacey King. Praise God. But sometimes in my mind, I think I'm a Michael Jordan. Amen. Amen. Preach on, preacher. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm telling you, we're still in this. We need to do like Hezekiah. Every once in a while, when it gets dry, no, listen, don't pretend with me. When it gets dry, our relationship with God gets dry. Our relationship with church gets dry. Remind yourself every once in a while, living, and say it twice, living. Living beats dying every time. Amen? If he left you in there every once in a while, you might just want to remind God, just say, hey, I'm living, Lord, thank you. I could have been dead. But I'm not, I'm living, Lord. And if you're going to leave me down here, I'm going to at least cheer a little bit, amen? Some of y'all need to come up off the bench every once in a while and just praise him. Thank God, amen? I love that. I'm glad that was there, amen? I love verse 18. He reminded him. This is some of the stuff he said when he rolled up against the wall. I guarantee it was. He said, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. You know what he said? He was like, listen, God, don't put me down there. I'm one of the few people, and he said, I know you know I am, because I'm the one who tore down those idols and cut down those groves. Listen, I am valuable. If you put me in the grave, there won't be that crazy guy who shouts and praises and loves on you and sings those songs and does what I do. God, please remember me. Man, hello. Amen? You say, well, I don't do that. Do it. Start. Cut down some idols in your life. Cut down some groves in your life. Cut down some things that have risen up in your life that are bigger than God. And when God brings a test or a trial into your life, you can remind him of who you are and why you're valuable to him. And while going into the grave will just silence one more voice in this great big chasm of a world that will silence even more. Somebody told me that. I remember somebody said, you are the loud mouth of the group. You are the loud mouth. Somebody wanted me to do an announcement this morning. And that was their political way of putting it. He goes, you're the loud mouth. You're the one who announces the stuff. I'm like, man, you could have done politically better than that. I mean, you could have said, I think Charlie said, you project your voice well. That would have been better. Amen? But I want to say this. I want to be known as somebody who raised their voice for God for as long as he'll let me raise it. Amen? Because I used to raise my voice. All God did was save me and change me and turn me around. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be a little excited. I'm going to be excited and loud for the right team. Amen. And I'm going to remind God. He said, well, it's time for you to go. I'm going to say, look, Lord, the devil, I mean, that grave, it'll be awful quiet without me. Could you leave me in the game a couple of 15 more years? Amen. He might say no, and that's okay. Amen. You know why it'll be okay? Because verse 17. Y'all ready? God, y'all love this kind of stuff? I love teaching the Word of God. I love preaching the Word. This stuff blows me away. Behold, for thy peace I had great bitterness. You know what he's saying? My peace was gone. Because God, you sent a man up here and told me to get my house in order. And my peace had left town. Amen. And I was in bitterness. So he was being honest in his prayer. Some of y'all need to get honest in your prayers. Some of y'all tell you cute prayers. He's like, I'm bitter. He goes, I was tore up. Amen. Look. But thou hast loved, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Whew. I'm going to preach a little bit of doctrine right here. And you might not like my doctrine, but it's not Baptist doctrine, it's not Church of God doctrine, it's not Methodist doctrine, it's Bible doctrine. Just straight up Bible doctrine, amen? This is who I am at my core. The reason I preach the way I preach and do what I do is because of this right here. Guess what? He said he went straight to the cross. He went straight to the cross. He said, listen. He said, you cast all my sins behind your back. All of them. All of them. If Jesus, see, when you come to the cross, Jesus dies for all of your sins. Amen? All. I don't know if you care about that or not, but I'm glad. See, if Jesus didn't die for all of them, he didn't die for any of them. Amen? And when you come, Jesus, see, God heaped every sin that is every sin on Jesus. So when you come to him and you say, I believe in you and I trust in you and I repent of my sins, guess what? He heaps all of his righteousness on you. Billy Graham told a story. He said he was on a ship and he looked out of a portal and he seen all these dark clouds and dark skies. And he ordered dinner, so the man had brought the dinner in. He said, oh, friend, we're about to go through one of the worst storms we've ever been in. I've been on a few ships and I know it's rough in the storms, and this is the darkest clouds I have ever seen in my life on a boat, and I'm kind of scared. And the porter leans over and says, don't worry, sir. We've passed that storm. That storm is behind us. We went around it, or it went around us, or we went through it and it didn't affect us. We are on the other side of it. It is behind us now. The effects of the storm will not have any effects on us. I remember when I was a kid, we were baling hay one summer, and it was so hot. We were baling hay, when you put it up on, square bales. We were putting it on, and I mean, all of a sudden, a couple miles away, you could see rain coming. And this man was desperate to get his hay up. He's like, oh, we've got to get my hay up. That's going to ruin us. We've got to do this. We're going to be hell. I'm sitting like, and all of a sudden, he goes to praying and talking to God, and I'm talking to God about a different thing. Because I'm like a 14 or 15-year-old kid. I want to go swimming and hanging out with my friends. He's wanting his hay in the barn. His prayers were stronger than my prayers. That rain went all the way around us. And I was so disappointed. Because we're going to work all day. I was like, yay. We worked all day, but the storm had gotten behind us. Listen, friend, Jesus Christ, when you come to the cross of Calvary, he took the whole storm for you. Listen, he took every sin that you have committed, will commit, or even future commit. Listen, he took them all. And I said, well, I don't like that idea. I don't care if you don't like that idea or not. I don't care if you like that theology or not. Listen, I like the idea of this. He is a sacrifice for all sin, and he is the perfect sacrifice. If he had not died for all sin, then guess what? You would have had a temporary salvation. Somebody will say, well, you're just reckless with your Christianity. If you're saved like that, you can just live any old way that you want to live. Listen, that's not salvation, that's a lie. Listen, my salvation comes from gratefulness. Amen. First of all, it's gratefulness. When I understand who He is and what He's done, I work gratefully for the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't look at it and say, now I can sin all I want to. I look at it and say, why would I ever want to sin again? Because of what God has done for me. But I'm going to keep preaching because I want you to hear this because it makes more sense than you're letting on. Listen, what I believe in and what I know is true out of the Bible is when you get saved, you receive one part of the Godhead. It's called the Holy Spirit. That's an agent of God that comes in. And He wars against your old man. And He's in there and He's going to heaven. That Holy Spirit is going to heaven. Your spirit's going to heaven. It wars against your flesh man. Your flesh man and that spirit man are going to war the rest of your life. Don't come tell me I've whooped it. Yeah, whatever. You might be better, but you ain't best. Amen? You might be better, but you ain't best. You fight that old man over and over again. Amen? It matters who you feed really a whole lot. Comes down to it. Who wins a lot of the battles. Amen? But I want to tell you that Holy Spirit, He comes in there and He's going to lead you all the way to the end. And He'll help you walk through some stuff you never thought you'd walk through. Amen? But here you go again. Guess what happens when you do sin? Hello. Nobody preaches this outside of the church, outside of good biblical doctrine. What happens when you do sin? Nobody has to tell me. Nobody has to come chase me down. Nobody has to say this or that to me. Nobody has to preach a message. I got it here. I got it right here. Amen? That Holy Spirit brings conviction on me. It brings separation. Not separation eternally. Separation between me and God. And there's a wedge between me and God. And it ain't right until I repent of it and turn from it and ask God to forgive me of it. Amen? And that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? See, what I like to do, here's what I like to do. Because the storm has passed me by, what I like to do, instead, see what a lot of people do, what the devil would have you to do, he wants you to dwell on where all the stuff you mess up on. And all the people that's messed up on you. Huh? Matter of fact, he'd want you to dwell on every mistake you've ever made, every mistake that you do make. And that way you don't ever talk to God about it. Amen? He wants you to embrace all your mistakes and all your errors and all your flaws. That's what he wants. And then he wants you to embrace every flaw, every mistake, and everything that people's done against you. I could stay there for a while. Amen? You ever been there? What God wants you to do is fully embrace the grace and mercy that's at Calvary. He wants you to scoop up the fact that you've been forgiven of every sin you've ever committed. Amen? That you're totally forgiven and you're standing in the grace and mercy of God. Amen? Grace and mercy will follow you the rest of your life as a child of God. If you stop and slow down long enough and talk to God, grace and mercy will come and arrest you before too long. Amen? Grace and mercy. No matter how bad I mess up, no matter how bad I feel, praise God, I can go to Calvary. After I figure it out, because here's what happens usually. When you sin or when you mess up, the shame train comes, the guilt train comes. Amen. You ever do it? Can I run the whole gamut with you? I'll run the whole thing for you, because it's Sunday night and I feel good about it. Lust and sin comes along in the train, right? It comes along and it shows you something, looks at something, hears something, mad, frustration, hungry, tired, whatever you are, and you see something, you build up a resentment, whatever, and all of a sudden, well, you get on that train. Show your ticket. I'm here. That thing takes off and it's running, and it's running fast. You've got the thoughts, you've got that kind of an excitement, and you're like, oh man, you know you shouldn't be here, you shouldn't be doing it, but there's something, man, I'm preaching, y'all just ain't letting on like I am. And you're driving in that train, you're like, man, I should, but you're already on the train, and it's building, and you're going up that, well, man, all right, we're going to do this, it's going to be exciting, all right, and you do it. Next time I'm going to run the other side of that, it's guilt, and shame, and heartache, and man, I ain't no good, I'm just terrible. And all the way down that other side, and it is a drop, amen? Can't go, what are you hearing? That conductor comes up over the... Don't call on God now. Don't repent. Don't sing now. Don't worship now. Don't praise now. Don't claim grace and mercy now. Don't run to God now. You done messed up. And then you hear Hezekiah 38:17.
He cast all my sins behind his back. Then you remember the conductor is a liar. You remember he's the liar and the father of all lies. Everything he's saying, you do opposite. Don't praise him. Well, I think I'll praise him. Hey, don't read about him. I think I'll read about him. Don't go to church. I'll go to church. Don't go up there and repent. Oh, I guess I need to go repent. It's too late for you now. No, I don't think it is. Amen? I must be right on time. Amen? Must be right on time. Man, do you see the promise up there? He cast all of our sins behind his back. Cast all my sins behind thy back. Now, you might want to write that one down and keep it for a while. Because if you're a born-again child of God, you'll stand before God and go, oh, God, I did this and I did that and I did that. And he's going to say, what? Can I give y'all another nugget before we leave here? You will not stand before God in judgment of your sins. Whoa. Because if you stood before God in the judgment of your sins, you'd be found guilty. When you stand before God, he'll look at Jesus' righteousness on you. And he will say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen? He can't judge you for sin that's already been covered by what Jesus did at the cross. So all of the sin was put on Jesus. I want to get out of that, but I can't hardly help it. See, Jesus, what he represented at the cross was all the sin of the world. Amen? He took it all. If you and Jesus, it's I think in Isaiah, he said, it pleased God to crush him, right? It pleased him. So guess what? When Jesus became sin, God said, I'll crush him that you may go, listen, that you may be found innocent. But if you stand before God in the judgment seat and you did not accept what Jesus did, you will pay the full penalty. And it will please God to crush you for your iniquity. I hope you get that. Because listen, I hate to bust you up. I lean fully on what Christ did at Calvary for my righteousness. I or you will not get into heaven off of anything we've done or not done. It's the finished work of Calvary that will get you into eternity with God. I know it's hard because we think we got to add to or take away or do something to help God out with his salvation plan. What we got to do, and I'm preaching simple, this is as simple Christianity as you can ever get. We come to the cross and say, him. Because if it was God on that cross, then that's what it took for you to be saved. If it was God in that grave, it's what it took for you to be saved. Amen? We'll stand there at that judgment seat and say, it was Jesus. Him alone. Amen? This is how we get in. You were a preacher. You were a teacher. You were a Sunday school. You went to Flat Top Independent Church. You were a member. No, no, no. You were Baptist. No, no, no. You read the Bible. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. If it's not Jesus Christ, then guess what? You will be standing there and he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew. I know it's the simple gospel. Sometimes we overlook the simple gospel. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. We think Jesus wasn't enough. Jesus was enough and then some. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus fed 5,000 people, not counting women and children. You know that? That was a direct representation of the cross. What he was saying is, this bread and loaves will be enough to feed everybody here and then some. What I do at Calvary will be enough to save the whole world and then some. That's why it's in all four Gospels. Because if you, as long as people are saying, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, it never runs out. Amen? And someday when we're standing in glory and someone says, well, so-and-so, they had, that's why I think there's the judge. You have the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll have the Bible, amen? And then you'll have that the list of, you know, all the people that were in, found it. Oh, man, I lost my train of thought. Where every name is written in glory. Amen? Why is that book going to be there? Huh? Oh, anyway. Well, let's just say it this way. That book's there. Why would it be there for lost people? It's there for one reason. Amen? It's there, amen, for people to see there was room for them to be written in the book. The Lamb's Book of Life. They could have been written there at any time. Amen? Your name wasn't written there because you never asked for it. Let's all stand.